This is your AEW Dynamite review for February 12, 2020 from Austin, Texas. Shout out to Austin. You guys rock tonight. Holy shit. What a great crowd. That was a great crowd in Austin tonight. And what a great show. I thought, and I tweeted this out earlier before the show was even over, I thought this episode tonight was fantastic. Top to bottom, this was probably my favorite episode of Dynamite since the debut in October. I really like this show. I just thought the matches were, you know, ranged from good to very good. But one of the things I really liked about the show, and this has been a complaint, this has been a knock on Dynamite in the past, is that a lot of the great video packages and video segments and vignettes that they've done have been relegated to their social media. Or they've been relegated to their YouTube channel. So only a slice of the audience is really seeing some of these great videos that, in a lot of cases, help explain things, help further certain storylines. We're starting to see a lot more of these segments now show up on the actual show. And we got a lot of them tonight, whether it was Darby Allin, whether it was Pac. I know there were a couple of others I'll get into here. I like the fact that we're finally getting more of these, because early on that was a big knock on the show. You know, you can't just have wrestling, match, match, match. You've got to have something to kind of break things up, promos or vignettes, skits, whatever. And I think they're doing a very good job of that now, incorporating them into the show. But the show, just from top to bottom, in terms of building to the pay-per-view in a few weeks and the action, it almost felt pay-per-view-esque tonight. So I really, really very much enjoyed this show, more than any other so far. Let's try to get 300 likes on this video. Hit that thumbs up if you have not already done so. Of course, hit the sub button if you are not subscribed. You just might see your name on screen tonight next to the Dancing Blue Shark if you subscribe to the channel. And as always, for those who want to support, Super Chats are open, including the $5 disappointed Solomonster donation. Solomonster wasn't very disappointed tonight. And Russo on a poll for $10 or more. Shout out to everybody in the chat. What's going on, man? What's going on, guys? I shouldn't just say man. Got some women in the chat. I don't know who they are. I'm sure they're in there, though. Jose Inoua, we're getting started early with the Super Chat action. Jose, thank you very much. This is just for the Mets segment on the Sound Off. I got to tell you, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback, more than I thought I would get to that Mets segment. Yeah, I don't venture away from the wrestling stuff very often. But as I said to somebody, there's a reason why I named this show, you know, Solomonster Sounds Off. There's a reason why I didn't put the word wrestling in there. I can sound off on anything I want, as I've done many times before. The Mets are but one subject I can sound off on. So thank you. I did get a lot of positive feedback. I'm not going to flood the show with Mets stuff every week, but people seem to enjoy it. Vincent Millage, thank you for the $5 Super Chat. It's crazy how over Adam Page is now, he says. Used to get no reaction. Well, I made this comment a week ago. I said the best thing that ever happened to this guy was losing to Chris Jericho at All Out. It would have been insane to put that championship on him last summer. He wasn't ready for it. He's ready now. The idea of putting the title on Hangman in the next 6 months, not that I expect it, doesn't seem so far-fetched all of a sudden. You saw that hot tag he got tonight in the opening match. Place exploded. And Dougie Dizzle, thank you for the $5 Super Chat. We'll work more of these in as the night goes on. Show open with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defending their AEW Tag Team titles against the former champions, SCU. Their first title defense for Hangman and Omega in, I guess they've been champions, they said, for 22 days. So this was their first title defense. Immediately, the Dark Order pop up on screen. Right on the Tron, there's Evil Uno, warning all four men in the ring that we are many, and there may be more of us out there. They may be closer than you think. And that led to Christopher Daniels telling SCU he was going to head back to the locker room. I don't know if he was going after the Dark Order or he was going to go try to uncover something. I don't know what he was doing. But he left, and we never saw Daniels again. And the announcers flat out admitted that people were wondering, where does his allegiance lie? You know, by going off to the back, Jim Ross said this is not going to help his cause. So now they're drawing attention to the fact that Daniels could be aligned with the Dark Order, trying to throw us off the scent. Wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they're trying to do that on purpose. And he ends up being affiliated with the Dark Order. And everybody thinks, oh, he's the exalted one. He's the leader. Turns out he's not the leader. Maybe he's the co-leader. And the leader turns out to be Broken Matt. Or someone entirely different. I hope it is Matt. Matt got his send-off on Monday Night Raw this week. He ate a concerto from Randy Orton. And his contract is up in a few weeks. It sounds like he's as good as gone. And if that's the case, you know, when your contract expires, my understanding of how this works, I've never had a contract, contrary to what people may believe, with WWE. But my understanding is that when the contract expires, when it lapses, you are not bound by any kind of non-compete. You don't have to sit at home for 90 days. You're free and clear to go and do whatever you want, just like Jon Moxley last year. You know, he didn't have to sit out 90 days, and a month later, he was in Vegas, making his debut at Double or Nothing. So, if Matt's contract is up, and it sounds like it is around March 3rd, sometime in March, he should be free and clear to do whatever he wants and go wherever he wants. He can end up wherever he wants to go. I'm wondering this, and again, I don't know how this works, but if WWE really wanted to fuck with this guy, what's stopping them a week or two before his contract expires from releasing him? If they release you, then you're bound by a 90-day non-compete. So again, I don't know all the logistics of it, and I would certainly hope they wouldn't pull a stunt like that, but hey, when you're in a war, and you don't want people going to the competition, there's no telling what you may do. Imagine if WWE were to pull a stunt like that a week before this guy's contract is up. They know he's going to leave. They formally release him. They basically cut him. And now he's going to sit at home for 90 days just to fuck with him. I hope not. Anyway, we had Sky and Kazarian working over Kenny's back. So Omega makes that hot tag I mentioned earlier, and the people explode when Hangman tags in. He runs wild. It's a standing shooting star in Scorpio Sky for a near fall. Back and forth we go. Buckshot Lariat, Sky ducks. And it was actually Kazarian who caught Paige with a Lariat. I thought that was a great near fall. So the highlight, for SCU the highlight was dueling dragon sleepers on Omega and Paige. Of course, neither one tapped. And Omega in the end ended up hitting a V-trigger to Kazarian. Hangman hit a tope suicida to Scorpio Sky. And the combination Buckshot Lariat V-trigger to Kazarian finishes him off. Omega and Hangman retain the titles. I thought this was a very good opener. And there were a few different moments here where you thought Paige might accidentally collide with Kenny, but it never actually happened. And Paige went off into the crowd to drink beer with the fans. Omega left. And that left SCU all alone in the ring. Out comes the Dark Order, and they surround the ring. Best friends come out, try to even the odds. Here comes the Butcher and the Blade, and Helico and Jack Evans. Young Bucks come out. All hell breaks loose. This was meant to be a preview. They're having a tag team battle royal on the show next week, with the winners meeting Hangman and Omega for the belts at Revolution. You know, let me just go back when I was praising the show earlier. And one of the changes they made, which is the inclusion of more video features. One of the things I really like about what AEW is doing right now, and NXT does a good job of this too, less so Raw and SmackDown, although I think they're trying to get better at it, but one thing AEW does a very good job of, at least heading into Revolution, they have put together a schedule of matches between now and the pay-per-view every week. They're promoting something in advance. So last week, they were promoting two or three different things for this week. They promoted the cage match in Atlanta for next week. And they promoted the 30-minute Iron Man match on the go-home show before Revolution at the end of the month. Tonight, they added a few more matches. Next week, we have a whole bunch of matches. The week after, we have the Iron Man. So I like how they're laying these things out in advance. They're letting you know, hey, next week, 2 weeks from now, here are the big matches to look forward to. They're loading these shows up. Got a cage match next week. Got a tag team title match next week. 2 weeks, we've got an Iron Man match. Smart. It's smart. They're keeping people, you know, invested. They don't want you to turn away. They're giving you a reason to watch the show. I think that's smart. They're thinking things, you know, they're trying to think 2-3 steps ahead. I think that's what you need to do. So, Santana, he sat down in the ring with Jim Ross prior to the gates opening, so arena was empty. And, yeah, the story here is he's out for revenge tonight against Jon Moxley in the main event for what Moxley did to him, blinding him with those car keys to the eyeball. But in doing so, he explained why it was so personal to him. Says, 10 years ago, he was in a deep depression. He was living in darkness, so he called his father. Now, his father started going blind when he was 14 years old. And the doctors told his father, by the time you're 25, you're going to be completely blind. You're not going to be able to see. And so, when he got the phone call from his son was down in the dumps. I feel like I'm in the dark. His father said, that's how I feel every day. And his father died before he had a chance to say goodbye. His father, he says, was stolen away from him. His father just passed away on New Year's Eve, which is why he missed a little bit of time last month. So JR says, you know, well, Moxley was, he was going for revenge too. You know, wouldn't you blame Chris Jericho? And Santana said, look, he had the chance to join us. He pissed it all away. And he built his own coffin. And tonight he's going to put him in the dark. I thought this was a fantastic babyface promo. The problem is, it came from a member of the top heel faction in the company. But, even still, I thought this was a great segment. It was the most that we've heard from Santana. You know, we got a lot of background. They weaved his real background here into the story. I thought this was tremendous. I thought this was great. So shout out some more people here who have been donating. Just make sure I don't miss anybody. CJ! CJ LaChapelle earlier with the $10 super chat. Said, Justin Roberts is the best ring announcer in the business today. Can't believe WWE let him go. You need to read his book. Or better yet, use our Audible link and go listen to it. His audiobook, Best Seat in the House, it's up on Audible. Audibletrial.com/Solomonster. Cheap plug. You can get it for free. His book is great. And you're going to hear some of these behind-the-scenes stories. Now, again, it's his perspective. It's one person's point of view. But some of the stories he tells about his dealings with management and the things that he was allowed and not allowed to do. And it gets infuriating sometimes. But I still think it's worth a good read if you want some insight into the behind-the-scenes workings of WWE. I would recommend it. Twitch H sent a $10 super chat earlier. A slow, consistent build to a pay-per-view from week to week, he says, hopefully leading to big payoffs. Who would have thought that would work? See, that's what you call old school. Austin Sanders, thank you. Excuse me. $5 super chat. Says, this show is an example of hearing the crowd versus actually listening to them. They took stuff that didn't work, and they tweaked almost everything. In fact, I'm going to have another example of that in a little bit here, so it's funny you make that point. And we'll pause here. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5 super chat. Says, any chance Brody Lee will be the exalted one if he signs with AEW? It's very possible. It is very possible. Again, I would not be surprised if they co-opted not one, but two kind of leading figures if Daniels does end up going to the Dark Order, but it's someone else, you know, who's really calling the shots. So we'll see. We'll see where they go with this. But again, I can't say enough good things about that Santana promo. I just thought it was great. We got a Darby Allin video. He still can't see, or not see... I'm still thinking of Moxley. He still can't speak. Moxley and between Moxley and Darby, it's see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. So he can't speak after taking a skateboard to the throat a couple weeks ago by Sammy Guevara. So he held up cue cards. He held up these giant placards with messages on them, basically challenging Sammy to a match. Hey, what are you doing at Revolution? Are you free at Revolution? And Jim Ross told him, and actually there was a sign in here where he basically accused him of getting, what was it, herpes? From kissing Chris Jericho's ass, is that what it said? I believe so. Is that possible? Can you get herpes from kissing? I've not done this, so I wouldn't know. It's kind of nasty. Jim Ross told us that Darby's injury was worse than expected, and he is still not medically cleared. So it's possible he will not be cleared in time for the pay-per-view. Sammy Guevara, speak of the devil, against the natural Dustin Rhodes here in Dustin's hometown of Austin, Texas, which explains why he got a singles match here on the show in the first place. So Dustin, midway through, he's climbing up to the second rope on the inside. Looks like he's going to go for a moonsault. Jake Hager comes out. He distracts him. And Rhodes, he ends up coming back. He crotches Sammy on the top rope. And twice, you know, Guevara is trying to suplex him or knock him off the top. And, you know, twice he's able to knock down Sammy. Finally, he basically does that inverted suplex where Sammy is, he just takes a nice big fall face first down onto the mat. And it never ceases to amaze me when he does this. But then again, I remember that Ricky Morton does the same thing. And Ricky Morton is probably, I don't know, 10 years older? 10 or 12 years older than Dustin is, and he's doing destroyers. But Dustin has become a new move in his arsenal now. Hits the Canadian Destroyer and the final reckoning for the pin. So Dustin takes the mic, and he refers to Hager. He says, hey, Jericho's bitch. And Hager turns around, says, you broke my arm? Now I want a piece of your ass. You're a failure at your MMA career. You've been a failure here so far. Are you going to accept my challenge to a match at Revolution? And Hager started to walk down to the ring. Then he turned around, thought better of it, and he walked to the back without accepting the challenge. However, later in the show, they did announce the match is now official. It will be Dustin Rhodes against Jake Hager at Revolution, one-on-one. And look, you know, they're doing Dustin and they're doing him against Hager one-on-one. Dustin had to win this. You know, I saw a couple of complaints online. Oh, Sammy lost to the old guy. Dustin's the one with a match at the pay-per-view. Right now, Sammy has no match. You got to give Dustin a win somewhere to make him somewhat credible. He's not going to beat Hager. I'll eat my hat. I don't even wear a hat. I'll buy one and eat one. If he pins Hager. Forget this DQ bullshit. He's not beating Hager at the pay-per-view. So you got to give him a win here. I had no problem with it. Plus, they were in the guy's hometown. If this were WWE, that's an automatic loss. So I had no problem with Dustin winning here. Thank you to Jacob. Did I mention Jacob? I did mention Jacob before. Okay, I want to make sure I'm all caught up here. Suave Titan, brand new donator, $2 super chat for saying Butcher and Blade normally. He gave me $2 for saying Butcher and Blade normally. I'm trying to behave. Some people think it's annoying when I say it the way that Excalibur says it. Some people like it. I'm trying to be on my best behavior right now. You can't see it. I'm like tweaking here. My hand is shaking here. It's taking every fiber of my being not to say the Butcher and Blade the way that I used to. Brian, thank you for the $5 super chat. The weirdest booking idea. Leva Bates as the Exalted One's secret secretary. Yeah, I don't like that idea. And Chris Quillman, thank you for the $5 super chat as well. He loved Darby doing Sammy's cue card gimmick against him. Also makes sense, since apparently he cannot speak. So Tony Schiavone, he had the unenviable task of once again interviewing Dr. Britt Baker. This poor bastard. Every week he's got to interview this woman. She's making fun of him again, being a Starbucks barista. I don't even know if he still is a barista. How does that even work? Once you become a barista, is it like some kind of designation where you can just walk into any Starbucks any day of the week and just be a barista? Or I don't know. Is there a certain way this works? I didn't think he was a barista for years. But she keeps ragging on him for it. So last week, if you remember, Britt Baker broke some of Yuka Sakazaki's teeth, which is my nightmare. Any kind of dental surgery, dental injury, just the thought of it makes me sick. She says, you know what? She actually did her a favor. She improved Yuka's health. That tooth had extensive tooth decay. It was going to come out anyway. So she took that tooth out for her, for free. Says, Yuka probably doesn't have health insurance. Well, you know, she's probably right. Either that or she can't afford it. She got tremendous heat for saying that the fans had chubby, confused Whataburger faces. That's why healthcare is so expensive in America. Too many people eating Whataburger. Getting fat. Having health problems. Diabetes. This is what happens. I see no lies. No lies detected in what Britt Baker was saying here. No offense to Austin. The good people of Austin, Texas. So she reminds us that she's a role model. She has 2 degrees. I thought this was fun. You know, when she hits that key line each time, whether she's ragging on the local sports team, or she's calling people fat and ugly, whatever it is. It's like her promos are kind of like, all right, this really, you know, her delivery isn't really that great. Then she hits the one line and she gets unbelievable heat. And maybe it's cheap heat, but it's heat. I still maintain this is the best possible role for her here on this show. So I thought this was fun. Ray Wrighton. How you doing, Ray? Always love hearing from Ray. With the $10 super chat, Adam Page Moonsault is still trash. He got lucky last week. And don't come for the queen. Yes, Ray is a huge Charlotte Flair fan. So if you insult Charlotte Flair, she'll be very upset. And I'm not going to insult Charlotte Flair. I think Charlotte is you know, fine at what she does. She just has a shitty moonsault. Her moonsault is shit. That's okay. You know, she can't be perfect. She can't be great at everything. Here's the thing about Charlotte. Charlotte's form on the moonsault, when you see her in the middle of the moonsault, looks great. The problem is, when she lands, it looks like shit. So, she needs to stop doing the moonsault. It's just that simple. She insists on doing it, I'm going to call it shit. Every time she does it. Food Hive, thank you for the $10 super chat earlier. Dear Britt Baker, he says, never disrespect Whataburger in the state of Texas. We don't play like that. What's the big deal with Whataburger anyway? I've never had Whataburger before. Is it only in Texas or the southern states? I've had In-N-Out. First In-N-Out burger I ever had was WrestleMania 31. It was out in California, Santa Clara, I believe we were in. I had In-N-Out for the first time. It was good. I didn't have an orgasm. You know, I didn't touch myself. It wasn't orgasmic or anything like that. It was fine. It's a fucking burger. Who cares? People make such a big deal. Oh my God. You gotta try this. Look, I've tried Shake Shack. I've tried In-N-Out. It's good. It's not out of this world. So I can't imagine that Whataburger is much better. Five Guys. It's all the same shit. Jacob Donnelly, thank you. $5 super chat. Baker has been a heel for 3 weeks and already gets better heat than Corbin. Wow. Got a lot of... I hope that Baron Corbin fan doesn't call in now. He may be very upset at you saying that. I haven't heard from... Mike? Is that the Baron Corbin fan? Anyway, Nyla Rose. She challenged Riho for the AEW World Championship. Nyla had not been pinned since her loss to Riho on the debut edition of Dynamite back in October, when Riho first won the championship. This was a very good match. I enjoyed this. I didn't think I would, but I did very much enjoy this match. Best Nyla match I think I've seen to date. She connected with a Death Valley driver on Riho from the middle rope, great near fall. Nyla tried for Kenny Omega's one-winged angel, which every week Excalibur calls it the one-winged angel. Kind of annoys me. Riho escaped, hit back-to-back Snapdragon suplexes, back-to-back Snapdragons by 98-pound Riho. And then she hit a Northern Lights suplex for a near fall. Riho hits the double foot stomp off the top. Nyla kicks out at one. Goes back up top, hits a second one, goes back up top, hits a third one. Which was didn't look that great, but she hit a third one. Nyla gets her foot on the bottom rope. Riho goes for a move. Nyla catches her with a weak spear, followed by the Beast Bomb. And we have a new women's champion. Thy name is Nyla Rose. You knew it was inevitable. The way, you know, she's on the posters. She's one of the more featured personalities they have. You knew it was only a matter of time before Nyla Rose took that title. And not for nothing, again, I enjoyed the match. You know, there were some parts that didn't look great. I thought that spear at the end looked kind of weak, but these two had good chemistry together. So I actually thought this was a pretty good match. Now, it may have just been a TNT thing here after the match, where this aired during a split screen. My attention was diverted to something else here. I did manage, though, to see this full screen. So again, if you were watching on TNT, you may not have been able to see this well or hear what was going on. I saw the full screen version of this. When Nyla got to the back, Tony Khan was there, and he greeted her with the most awkward hug that I have ever seen. This, he just looks very socially awkward. I think that's a good way to describe Tony Khan. Nice guy, smart guy. Seems like a bright guy. You know, runs a sports franchise, runs a wrestling promotion, but he seems a little socially awkward. Something a little weird here. So this was a very weird hug, very awkward hug. And Kenny Omega was there. He was very upset. He was very down in the dumps that his girl Riho lost. And Nyla was very upset. She felt disrespected. There were only a few women there, a few people to greet her. Jericho got bubbly after he won the title. Here she gets nothing, no applause, no nothing. So that was it. That was the whole segment. You didn't miss much if you didn't see it. But if you were watching on TNT, because I heard from a few people saying, oh, you know, I can't hear what's going on. So I found another version online so I can actually see what was going on. And again, you didn't miss much. Let's take a look here at the Super Chats here. Just get caught up. I'm trying to handle this in a better way, so I'm not doing too many of them at once, but I want to make sure I don't miss anybody here. So, Kevin. Kevin, oh my God. The $1.99 Super Chat. Please say the Butcher in the Void. I don't know what you're talking about. He's called the Butcher. What do you mean, the Butcher? Is that what you mean? There you go. He Super Chatted. I had to. I had no choice. Ray with the 99 cent. Thank you. Thank you, my love. Lexi Nair. Lexi Nair interviewed Chris Jericho backstage. Again, Lexi, I believe, is DDP's daughter, if I'm not mistaken. Jericho was flanked by the Inner Circle, and he corrected her. It's Mr. Jericho, he said. Jericho said he has a surprise for Jon Moxley next week. He scoured the world for a bounty hunter to fight Jon Moxley next week, should Moxley somehow make it past Santana tonight. And that person is Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb will be wrestling Jon Moxley next week. Hell yeah. Jeff Cobb is great. Jeff Cobb has been wrestling for Ring of Honor and New Japan. If you're a Lucha Underground fan, he played the Monster Matanza. He was under a mask, but he was the Monster Matanza Cueto in Lucha Underground. Very talented big man. I say big. He's not tall. He's got a wide frame. So in that respect, he's kind of a big dude. But he's not, 6'5 or 7 feet or anything like that. Now, some people might be wondering, what's the deal? You know, did his Ring of Honor contract run out? Is he signed with AEW? What's going on here? He has not signed with AEW. This is per PW Insider. His contract with Ring of Honor ran out at the beginning of the year. He elected not to sign a new deal, and so he became a free agent. Now, he is still working for Ring of Honor, but he is not working with a contract. So he is not bound by any kind of contract or written agreement or anything like that. And it sounds to me like they're just bringing him in next week to lose to Jon Moxley. So who knows? You know, if things go well, he may yet sign a contract. But right now, this to me sounds like a one and done. You know, but if he's a free agent, I guess, look, he could work more with them if things go well. They like him. But unless he signs a deal, look, Moxley is going to the pay-per-view. He's wrestling for the world title. He's not getting beat by Jeff Cobb next week. So Cobb's coming in to lose. But Moxley against Cobb is going to be great. That's going to be great. Jared, thank you, my friend. $25 super chat. Holy shit. Thank you, my friend. Please keep Brandy off TV and away from a mic. I'm going to talk about Brandy here in a second. I didn't think Brandy was bad. I thought Brandy was very unoffensive tonight. But back to Jeff Cobb here. Sean Ross Sapp. I saw him mention this. And he made a good point. You know, next week, it's even though he's not under contract, it's an ROH star, basically, against a New Japan champion in an AEW ring. It's kind of like that time we had the ECW champion defend, or I'm sorry, let's backtrack here. If you were a fan back in 2000, you may remember Taz had just jumped to the WWF. We had a WWF star against a WCW star for the ECW title. And that whole clusterfuck. What was Taz be thinking, too? He leaves ECW. He goes to WWE. All of a sudden, this weird situation comes about. They say, hey, we need you to do a favor for us. We need you to go back to ECW. Not only go back to ECW, you're going to beat Mike Awesome, who just signed with WCW and fucked over ECW. Which, actually, that's not really fair. I think Awesome in part jumped because he wasn't getting paid. So ECW probably fucked him. But it was just this weird situation. So that's kind of what this, that's kind of what this reminds me of next week. But think about this also about Cobb. So you've got Cobb coming in, right? Cobb's coming in, even if just for 1 week. Lance Archer. It sounds like Lance Archer is leaving New Japan. Question is, where's he going to go? He's been teasing on social media. He might go to NXT. He's been teasing he might go to AEW. You know, and there's another talented big man. Luke Harper, he's likely on his way in here to AEW. If this keeps up, people are going to have to find a new reason to hate on AEW. It won't just be for all the flippy wrestlers anymore. I see that as a common complaint. It's all just flippy wrestlers and wrestlers that are 5'8". What will their new argument be? You throw in Wardlow, Jake Hager, Luchasaurus. I really don't think you can use that as a valid argument anymore. Looks like they're stocking up on their big men. Infamous GS, thank you for the $2 super chat. And Sasha. Sasha Montrez, thank you for the 99 cents. Brandi Rhodes, she came out to sit in on commentary for MJF's match with Jungle Boy. She was acting all somber. You know, she was talking about what happened to her husband, Cody, the week before. Of course, Cody got the shit whipped out of him by MJF and Wardlow. Took that leather strap, took 10 lashes and a kick to the balls. Brandi, now you might be saying, Brandi, what happened to the Nightmare Collective? Well, I come with good news this week. I am the bearer of great news, if you haven't already heard. Brandi went on Wrestling Observer Live this week with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi, and she confirmed that the Nightmare Collective is no more, or at least her involvement in the Nightmare Collective is no more. They might keep Mel and Luther together as some kind of undercard act, possibly, but the Nightmare Collective, for all intents and purposes, is over. It's done. No more Nightmare. The Nightmare is over. And I got to give credit where credit is due. Credit to them. Credit to them for recognizing that it just was not working and changing course. They didn't have to do that. But they saw the writing on the wall. They said, look, they heard the reaction. This is not working. And they dropped it. Good on them. Good on them. It was the right move for them to make. So I got to give them credit for that. They were able to pivot. They did the right thing. Sylvan Green, thank you for the $10 super chat. Says, speaking of Lucha Underground, could the actor that portrayed Dario Cueto have a place in AEW? I don't think so, because AEW is not doing the authority figures, but I'm so happy you brought that up. I don't know how many people listening to this right now are fans of Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO. It's a fucking great show. You should be if you're not. If you missed it, or if you're wondering, wait, what happened to the guy that was playing Dario? He just had a role on, I think it was last week, actually. Last week's episode of Curb, not this most recent one, but the week before. He had a small role on the show, so it was good to see him. It was good to see him on there. Brian, thank you for the $2 super chat. Notice a guy wearing a Scooby-Doo costume. No, I did not. No. Somebody had a Solomonster sign tonight, but I don't know if they got it on TV. I was watching for it. Told me to look for it. And I guess they just didn't get him on camera. Unless somebody else saw it, I didn't notice it. MJF. Maxwell Jacob Friedman one-on-one with Jungle Boy. I thought these two had a good match. Crowd treated them like total stars. Crowd was into everything tonight. Again, I can't say enough good things about this crowd tonight in Austin, Texas. So MJF crotches Jungle Boy on the top rope. And then MJF looks all the way over at Brandy. Brandy is sitting in the announce position with Excalibur, Jim Ross, and Tony Schiavone. And he yells all the way over to her, grabs his crotch, grabs his dick, starts shouting over at Brandy, "Hey, Brandy! You can have a real man." And Jim Ross lost his mind. Jim Ross lost his shit. He's shouting MJF, "Shut up!" As if MJF can hear him. He's telling MJF to shut. He was so offended. Jim Ross was all hot and bothered by what MJF had just said to Brandy, defending Brandy's honor. "Hey, Jim Ross, she's married. You don't have a shot, bro. Try with someone else." Boy, he became the defender of Brandy. Man, he's like her pit bull or something. So Wardlow comes down. Wardlow was not out there. Now he came down. He passed the Dynamite Diamond Ring, the $45,000 Dynamite Diamond Ring, to MJF, who hit Jungle Boy with it. Then he hit the double cross, his version of the crossroads, and got the pin. After the match, Wardlow hit basically a giant spinning F5. To Jungle Boy. Luchasaurus and Marco Stunt ran down to make the save. MJF and Wardlow bailed. We got a training video, a vignette here with Pac. Said Kenny Omega has not been the same since Pac choked him out in Chicago. Said that's why Kenny's been ignoring his friends. Pac said in 2 weeks, Omega is going to be a lucky bastard because he gets to go 30 minutes with the best in the world. See, I would have done it a little bit differently. I mean, Pac calls himself the bastard. I would have said, boy, am I a lucky bastard. That's one of those little minor nitpicks, though. I thought this was good. Another one of those good vignettes. I'd like to see more of these on the show. Jericho and the Inner Circle, they make their way out into the upper deck to observe the main event. Observe this, brother. Although Ortiz, he made his way down to be ringside for the match to watch his partner Santana take on Jon Moxley. Eye for an eye. Moxley here, fresh off his successful defense of the IWGP United States Championship against Minoru Suzuki in New Japan. I love that match. If you didn't see it, find it, watch it, do yourself a favor. You don't have to be a New Japan fan. Find the match and watch it. It's a lot of fun. He had the eye patch back on after it had come off during the match with Suzuki. Yeah, I was expecting something out of a horror movie. You know, when the eye patch fell off, I was expecting maggots and guts and blood and pus. No. It's just a normal eyeball. Everything looks good. It's not like Jake Roberts. Remember when Jake the Snake took the arrogance in the eye from Rick Martel? Now, as a kid, when the eye was exposed and you saw nothing but the white of his eye, freaked me out. Of course, younger me didn't realize he was wearing a contact lens because I was an idiot. But it looked cool. If you were a kid, that was a cool visual. What the hell happened to his eye? His eye disappeared. It vanished. He may never see again. And then at WrestleMania in the blindfold match, the eye looked fine. The eye was back to normal. Anyway, right away they brawl into the crowd. Before climbing into the ring, referee rings the bell. I thought this was good. Nothing outstanding or anything. Ortiz got involved a few times. Santana hit a pile driver at one point for a near fall. He went up top and ate the knees on the frog splash. So Moxley goes up top. Ortiz spits alcohol in Moxley's one good eye. And Santana follows that up with a frog splash for a near fall. Moxley goes after Santana's good eye, hits the paradigm shift, and gets the pin. So to the surprise of no one, Jon Moxley picks up the win here. It's a good spot for Santana to be in, though. I think between the promo earlier in the show, where he was able to inject some of that real-life, you know, drama and the backstory with his father, the way they tied that into the whole thing with the eye, I thought that was very clever. The spotlight was on him. You know, he's a tag team guy. And this is the first time that the spotlight was really on him as a single. I thought he did fine. I thought he shined in that promo. But the match was fine. As soon as the match was over, we got a gang attack by the Inner Circle. And Jericho connected with the Judas Effect on Moxley. Got a visual pin on him. Out comes Jeff Cobb. He's motioning. Jericho's motioning for somebody to come out. And out comes Jeff Cobb, who is there. And he drops Moxley with his Tour of the Islands slam. And the Inner Circle poses. You have Cobb standing in the background. Again, I don't expect him to be a permanent member of their faction, but it was a cool visual. You know, they got the Inner Circle at full strength, standing tall over Moxley. I like this because, if you remember a few weeks ago, I said, how are they going to keep this interesting? They had 4 weeks. They still had 4 weeks of television to get to this pay-per-view. You've got to come up with ways to keep this fresh and interesting and not get old and peak before you get to Revolution. So they've been doing the thing where Moxley is basically taking out member by member the different members of the Inner Circle. It was Ortiz, was it last week? This week Santana got the spotlight. Now they're bringing in Jeff Cobb, which I think is awesome just because I'm looking forward to that match. So again, they've done a good job so far of keeping things interesting, and we'll see what they do on the go-home show. You know, are they going to go the predictable route and do a contract signing? Are they going to do something else? So is Moxley going to have to wrestle somebody else? I don't know. You know, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. But again, I thought this was the strongest Dynamite show top to bottom of all the episodes they've done so far, and they've been on the air now, what, 4 months, I think? Beginning of October? I thought this was a great show. You know, a few hiccups here and there, it's not perfect, but this was an excellent show. I thought everything was just, it pushed things forward to the pay-per-view in a great way. I want to see more of these promos, I want to see more of these videos that they're doing. Everything seemed to tie together and make sense largely. So I can't say enough good things about this show this week. Brian, thank you, brother, for the $2 super chat. Appreciate it. Notice, I think I said that already. Never mind. I'm all caught up. Thank God. Let's talk about next week, because next week they're in Atlanta. We've got Cody and Wardlow in a cage. We've got Moxley against Jericho's bounty hunter, Jeff Cobb. That is, if Moxley can be medically cleared. It's kind of odd, because Moxley was wrestling tonight. Why wouldn't he be medically cleared? That sounds kind of stupid. And Omega and Hangman. They will defend their tag team titles again, this time against the Lucha Bros. So that's a pretty packed show next week. Plus a tag team battle royal, with the winners getting a championship match at the pay-per-view. So they've loaded the show up in Atlanta next week, and then in 2 weeks they're in Kansas City, 30-minute Iron Man match with Kenny Omega taking on Pac. Of course, all roads lead to Revolution on February 29th. I will be going live after each and every one of those shows right here on YouTube. In fact, starting with the NXT TakeOver live stream this Sunday, I've got, let's see, 5 more live streams scheduled this month. We've got NXT TakeOver, 2 more Dynamite streams. We've got a sweet Saudi money stream that we're going to have some fun with, I promise. That'll be on the 27th. And an AEW Revolution stream, once that show is over on the 29th. Plus 2 more Sunday sound-offs this month, including episode 639. This weekend. So the point of all this is a lot of content coming your way. So get ready. And now would be a good time to check out the Twitter poll. Very curious here to see how the two shows stacked up in the Twitter polls. You can vote, if you've not already done so, at Solomonster on Twitter. You can vote in this AEW poll, which we'll look at first. Over 1,000 votes, 87% thumbs up, 13% thumbs down. So an overwhelmingly positive score for Dynamite. Meanwhile, over on the NXT side, interesting. Still very positive, 74% up, 25% down, but notably lower than the AEW poll. Although, a little caveat here, the AEW poll's got over 1,000 votes in so far, and NXT's got 544. Although, to be fair, the NXT polls usually don't get as many votes as the AEW polls do. That's just the way it goes every week. Coincidentally, they also don't get the kind of ratings that the AEW show does. That's just the fact. And I don't see NXT winning one on the horizon anytime soon. Although if they go with my idea, John Cena's coming back in a few weeks on SmackDown. And supposedly Cena has been given carte blanche to do whatever he wants to do at WrestleMania. So if he's wrestling, and I suspect he is, because why else would he be coming back on SmackDown if he wasn't having a match? If he gets to pick his opponent, and I've said this before, one of my predictions on the prediction show was that we would get Cena and the Velveteen Dream at WrestleMania. Cena sang his praise like a year ago, 2 years ago. He was asked point blank, who among the up-and-coming stars you see in NXT would you want to work with? And he said, honestly, it's not Adam Cole, it's not any of these other people, it's Velveteen Dream. He's going to be the man. He's the star of the future. I can't think of a better match for Cena to have than against the Velveteen Dream at WrestleMania and put Dream over. So that's what I'm hoping for. But if that happens, Triple H has got to be salivating over the idea of getting John Cena in Full Sail for one of those NXT shows on the road to WrestleMania. Then I think that would be an easy win that week, I would think, for NXT. Otherwise, I don't really see them pulling one out anytime soon. Things are settling in pretty consistently now with AEW ranking above NXT. So all that momentum they had going into Survivor Series and coming out of it, it's just gone. It's evaporated. It's not there anymore. That's too bad. Anywho, let's... Yes, thank you to the awesome heel in the chat. Please do give this video a thumbs up if you have not already done so. Let's go to the phones. This will be interesting. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Let's go to area code 484. See what 484 thought of the show tonight. You're on the air.
Hey, Solomon. How are you doing?
Good. Who am I talking to?
Talking to Tyler Williams. I thought, like you said earlier, I thought this was a great show. I thought it was very stacked. I would definitely put it along the lines of the best Dynamite since the January 15th show. I think that was the one where Kenny Omega, him, and Paige won, but I thought it was a great show overall.
Yeah, I just thought everything clicked. There was nothing on the show that made me want to change the channel, and the Nightmare Collective is dead. All the more reason to celebrate. So, no, I really...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I really was happy with the show.
Yeah, and I would say I'm one of the group of people who tends to watch AEW Dynamite and NXT like every week, like side by side. Yeah, make fun of me. But tonight, I would say I probably watched 90% of Dynamite and like only a tiny bit of NXT. And NXT has a go-home show this Sunday, so I guess that says a lot about how good Dynamite was this week. But I don't want to hold you for too long, so I have like two questions to ask, if that, you don't mind.
Sure.
They're good questions, actually.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So the first one is regarding women. So I think... The women have been, I think we all can agree, the women have been treated like oddly booked in AEW so far, but noticing a bit of a trend here. So first they did it with the Nightmare Collective, thankfully. Now they're starting to push Britt Baker more, depending on how you feel about that. And tonight they just took the title off of Riho and put on Nyla Rose. So I'm starting to see a little bit of a shift in the way they're starting to portray the women a little bit more prominently now. So my question is, after taking the title off of Nyla Rose, where do you go with the championship and the women's division as a whole? Like, who would you have be the first person contend for the title? Would you do a rematch with Riho at Revolution? Do you think they go with Britt Baker? Like, what would you do in that situation?
Yeah, I think you can do the rematch with Riho at Revolution. Yeah, pay-per-view's in two weeks. So you can do the rematch. Obviously, Riho's not going to win. And then once you blow past that, Britt Baker's a heel. I don't see the appeal in Britt Baker against Nyla Rose. That sounds like an awful idea. So I wouldn't do that. I don't know what Chris Statlander's up to. You know, maybe you can go back to her. You can do Statlander and Nyla. They've got a lot of work to do, you know, on that women's division. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any other woman who stands out as being any obvious challenger. It shouldn't be Brandy, you know, or anything like that. I don't know. Other than Statlander and the rematch with Riho, I don't know who they go to next.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because I think they did do a little bit of damage to the women's division over time. It's going to take a bit of time to repair that. But my second question is, with Chris Jericho facing Jon Moxley for the AEW Championship Revolution, assuming Jon Moxley wins the championship in 2 weeks, let's say a scenario plays out where MJF beats Cody Revolution as well, assuming he beats Wardlow, like next week. Do you think MJF by that point would be worthy to face Jon Moxley at AEW Double or Nothing in May? And if so, would you put the title MJF, or would you have Jon Moxley run the title for a little bit longer?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to let you go. That's a good question. You do Moxley and MJF in Vegas at Double or Nothing. You could, if you want to hold off on doing Moxley and Omega, because I think that would be the ultimate destination, you know, with Omega winning the championship. But then again, you've got Hangman. Hangman's over like gangbusters, and you would think at some point there's going to be a split. There's going to be a match, maybe a Double or Nothing, between Hangman and Omega. And let's say Hangman beats him. So you could do heel Adam Page against maybe babyface Jon Moxley at All Out in the summer. I mean, we're thinking so far ahead. Anything can happen, injuries. I mean, anything can happen. Would I put the title on MJF, though? It's tough. Yeah, probably not. Not yet. I could see it down the road. I wouldn't do that yet. I think it still feels early to me. So, and he's got the Dynamite diamond ring gimmick going. So, no, I don't think you need to put the world title on him so soon. Oofman Rules. He's got a wrench. One of our mods. Thank you for the $5 super chat. Well, you do Revolution predictions on the February 26th review. That's not a bad idea, actually. Maybe I will. I was going to maybe break it out separately, but that might not be a bad idea. So, you know what? Do me a favor. Shoot me an email. You got my email address, thesolemonster@gmail.com. Shoot me an email and mention that. Mention doing the predictions during the review on the 26th. And if so, I might do it there. Otherwise, I'm just going to forget. If I didn't have my head screwed onto my shoulders, I would forget that too. Brian, thank you for the $5 super chat. Zack Sabre Jr. is asking for trouble by attacking Jon Moxley during the Suzuki versus Moxley post-match. Well, that's going to be the next feud. It's going to be Jon Moxley against Zack Sabre Jr., which makes me wonder. Makes me wonder if Moxley, because I've been saying for a while now, Moxley beats Jericho at Revolution. Would they put the championship on Jon Moxley and have your AEW champion, meanwhile, wrestling Zack Sabre Jr. in New Japan? All due respect to Zack Sabre Jr. Maybe. I guess one doesn't really have to do with the other, so. But we'll see. But that's obviously going to be the next match for him over in New Japan. And Ryan, thank you for the $5 super chat. Have a Whataburger on me. Well, if you're paying, I'll have it. I would try Whataburger. I can't. I'm in New York. But if I was somewhere where there was a Whataburger, yes, I would try Whataburger. I'll do a Whataburger review on the YouTube channel. I don't know what the nearest state is to New York that has it. I tend to think it might be like a Midwest, West Coast thing. I'm not going out there anytime soon. And Food Hive, thank you for the $5 super chat. Said I've listened to your Excalibur and JR impression from the beginning of last week's AEW stream 1,000 times this week. And I corpse every single time. And I got some hate for doing that. These people don't like having fun. Took 3 seconds. A 3-second impression. And you would be surprised at the three people who were very upset about this. Let's see here. As I lose my voice, let's go to Florida. 407, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason, it's Glenn. How are you?
Good, Glenn. How are you?
Good. I'm in Chicago, not in Florida, but it's your Florida number.
Well, I bet if you're in Chicago, you probably wish you were in Florida right now.
I lived there for 8 years. That's why I have a Florida number.
Ah, okay. Perfect. Well, we got some Florida weather here in New York, so Florida doesn't sound too bad right now.
And I got snow here today, so I'm happy with that.
Oh, that sucks.
So my question is basically about NXT and AEW, but let me explain something to you.
Sure.
I don't know if you remember, but back in 2005, WWE used to do this called WWE Unlimited, where during commercial breaks, they would go on the line and they would shoot, like if there was a match.
Yes, I remember.
They would have it on their website.
Yes.
Now, that was 2005. The advertisers didn't like that much because what the computer was out. Do you think that would work today with technology that we have with cell phones and apps? Do you think something would work if they had it on like YouTube for like that Nyla Rose interview? Like you just go to the YouTube and they have like the live stream. Do you think it would work?
I mean, technologically speaking, it would work. I don't know if TNT would like that though. I mean, I don't know if they might object to that.
Okay. I think it would work because you're still in the same room.
Yeah, look, I mean, again, I managed to see the full version tonight. I pulled up a version of the show online, and so I was able to see the segment. I heard everything. I'm guessing if you were watching on TNT, they did the split screen thing, and you probably couldn't hear shit. They got away from that in recent weeks, and I thought that was going to be the end of it. They learned their lesson. So if that's what happened tonight, that's stupid. And I think it's fine if you've got something visual going on. But if there's actual dialogue happening, people can't hear it. And if you come back from commercial, unless you replay it, which I don't think they did, that's incredibly dumb. So they either have to do what you just suggested and air it somewhere else so people can see it, or just don't do that because people want to hear what's being said. If you don't come back and replay it, it makes no sense.
Could also put up a YouTube video later on.
Could do that too. But again, people shouldn't have to chase after it on YouTube. If it's important to the show, maybe it's not, but if it's important to the show, then replay it when you come back from commercial. It takes 20 seconds. You know, it doesn't take that much time to do that.
You're right. And then finally, do you plan on going to WrestleMania in California? And if you do you plan on having a meetup group with Greg from Good Mic Work?
It's too far ahead right now to know if I'm going to LA or not. I'm not going to Tampa. And my guess is I probably won't go until Vegas, if they do Vegas the year after. If they do Vegas in 2022, then I'm definitely there. LA is up in the air. I can't think that far ahead. But I got to meet Greg, or Orange Cassidy did, on the Jericho cruise. Got to hang out with him for a little bit. So yeah, I'd be down to meet up with Good Mic Work, among others, if I did venture back out to California. 502, you're on the air. 502. 502 going once.
How much?
Oh my goodness gracious. Lost you 502. So 502, call back. We'll try to get you back on. You know, it's funny. When I got to hit the dump button, and I thought to myself, maybe I should wait an extra 2 seconds. I said, yeah, there's no one there. And then you hit the button, and then you get that. That sucks. You hate to see it. You hate to see it, but what can I say? Shit happens. Let's go to 413. I think this is a Massachusetts caller. Is this Massachusetts?
Yep, you got Massachusetts. How
perfect.
You doing, Thomas?
Perfect. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to start off by saying thank you for everything you've done, all the years of a wonderful podcast. I truly appreciate all of it.
Thank you. I appreciate you listening.
Absolutely. I also want to say happy birthday to my girlfriend, Sindelin. She's 26. She's probably going to be super embarrassed hearing this, but I love her, and I just wanted to take that opportunity to put that out there. I agree with you on the show. I thought it was a great show tonight. Definitely probably their best one. I do have a question for you, though. I was wondering, I didn't catch the first part of your of the podcast, but I was wondering, do you think the Dark Order, what do you think that's going to go with? Do you really think it's going to be Christopher Daniels? Do you think it'd be Luke Harper? I thought they kind of just dropped it randomly throughout the show, and they teased that they were going to reveal the leader, and then nothing came of it. So,
yeah, I mean, they basically just did another tease where they came out, and Daniels had disappeared. He wasn't there. They're really pushing now the angle hard that Daniels, you know, where does his allegiance lie, and what's going on with him in the Dark Order, which I think is just being done to throw you off the scent. But beyond the opening segment, I don't think there was another mention of the Dark Order for the rest of the night. So that was pretty much where they contained that angle. But there was no big development. And look, if they are going to do something with Luke Harper, or if they are going to do something with Matt Hardy, you know, if one of them is going to be involved, they're not free until the first or second week of March. So it could just be that we're in a holding pattern, and they're stalling things out until these guys contractually become available. So I don't expect any big developments until after Revolution, as far as the angle goes.
Yeah, I'd agree on that. You're probably right. Lastly, I believe there's a Whataburger in Massachusetts at the MGM. So if you like going to a casino, you can get a burger. That'd be your opportunity.
Well, I'm not going to Massachusetts, so we'll have to wait until I make my way out to the West Coast or something like that. I mean, look, I like burgers and everything, but for Whataburger, I need more than that. Like, if there was a Red Sox game during the baseball season, maybe could hit up Fenway Park. Maybe that might be a good reason, but yeah. Otherwise, I'll have to take a rain check and go a different day. You'll have to let me know what's great about it too. Beyond the burger, I mean, are their fries good? You know, some places have good fries, have good onion rings. Are they known for something else besides just the burger that's out of this world?
I've never had it. I prefer Five Guys.
Oh, smart man. You like Five? Ugh, I tried Five Guys. I had Five Guys. I felt like shit for a week.
My girlfriend works there, so I got to stand up.
I don't know. I felt gross after having. They gave me the double patty, and I tried one of those hot dogs they have, and I just said, never again. I don't need to be having that.
Nah.
Not after this Jericho cruise. I got to work the weight off from the cruise before I go back to Five Guys. Anyway, anything else before I let you go?
That'll do it. Thanks again. I'm going to enjoy listening to the rest of the show.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate the call. So that was from Massachusetts. Let's see here. Try to switch it up a little bit. How about we go to Miami, The Rock's hometown, 786. You're on the air.
Ah, good evening. Pleasure to be on air. I've been a big fan since 2016 of your show. I've never called before, but I've definitely loved listening to the show ever since I started watching wrestling back in 2016.
Oh, okay. So you're,
my favorite.
So you're a newer fan. So you did not start watching wrestling until 4 years ago.
Nah, I started watching wrestling, reading online about the Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins storyline, that whole stuff with him, like, jumping out of boxes to, like, beat Seth Rollins up and stuff like that. And I thought that was just a really cool thing. And I watched videos online of Ambrose, like, cutting promos on Rollins, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
John Moxley is my favorite wrestler at the moment.
So let me ask you this. When he jumped from WWE to AEW, do you still watch WWE, or are you all in on him and AEW only?
Oh, I'm all in on AEW only. AEW and New Japan, absolutely.
Interesting.
I have, after he jumped ship, I had no reason to watch WWE at that moment.
Okay, interesting. So what did you think of the show tonight?
Oh, it was definitely my favorite Dynamite of all time. Absolutely. As soon as the end credits popped up, you know, the watermark thing saying, you know, all rights reserved, I knew that was definitely my favorite Dynamite of its short lifetime.
Perfect. No, hey, I can't disagree. I thought they had a great effort tonight. Anything else before we move on here?
Yeah, question. Who do you think Nyla feuds with now for the title. You know, she's a big, powerful wrestler, and she has been feuding with Shana on AEW Dark. Do you think they continue that for the title? Do you think she goes off against Sheeta or something like that?
Yeah, you know, we haven't seen much of Shana actually on the main Dynamite show, so I could see that. And I got yelled at in the chat before when I neglected to mention Hikaru Shida. So, yes, I think I could see a rematch with Riho. Maybe she beats her one more time. There's always Statlander, but it sounds like, at least from what I saw in the chat, it sounds like everybody's all in on Shida. I probably should just check the rankings. I actually have not checked their women's rankings. It's possible they're saying Shida because she's listed. Maybe she's listed at number one or two. So my guess would be probably Shida would be her next challenger.
All right. Thank you very much. I look forward to listening to your shows in the future.
Thank you for calling in. You'll have to call in again sometime. I appreciate it. Let's take a few more here before we wrap up for the night. We'll go next to Chattanooga. I think it's Chattanooga. You'll have to let me know if I'm wrong here. It's coming up as Chattanooga. 423, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason, how you doing, man?
Good. Now, am I right? Is this Chattanooga, or am I way off base?
Well, you're way off base. It's Lafayette, Georgia, but it's close.
Oh my God. Hey, close? That's a different state. That's not even close.
That's all right.
The hell am I paying for with this system? Anyway, it's not your fault. I'm glad you're calling in. What's your question?
I was going to say, I heard you earlier talk about Keep Your Enthusiasm. That's one of my favorite shows, too, on HBO.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I think this season is one of the best he's ever done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same here. And by the way, I like Sopranos, too. So. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, Sopranos is... Look, I've said on the podcast before, if you put a gun to my head and said, what are, in your opinion, the top three television shows ever created, in no particular order, they are... The Sopranos, mm-hmm. The Shield,
mm-hmm.
and Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
those are your top three, and I keep hearing about The Wire, and I haven't watched it, so I can't judge it. But for me,
The Wire's a good show.
Is it? I mean, is it worth watching?
It's I mean, you know, it ran five seasons, but it's a different cop show. It's not one of these, you know, same old. I mean, I give it credit for something different, but it will never, to me, to be honest with you, it will never come close to The Sopranos. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, it was that's kind of in a league of its own, though.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But The Wire had its moment. I mean, it's not a bad show. I'm not saying, but it ran 5 years. I guess it had that fan base as Sopranos did. That's what, I guess what I'm trying to...
All right. I don't even remember how we got on this subject, but I'm glad we had that conversation. So what? Let's shift back to AEW. What did you think of the show?
I liked it. It was good. I enjoyed the Moxley match. I enjoyed the Dustin match. My question to you is, are they going to have another, like, championship belt, like for the mid card, you know, or anything? Or
yes,
what?
yes, they are. In fact, and I'm going to talk more about this on the podcast this weekend. Cody did an interview.
Okay.
I think it was with the Observer, and he didn't give too many details, but he did confirm that they are going to have another championship. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't say when. He made it sound like you got to be patient. Mm-hmm. They're going to go slow. They're going to take their time. It's not going to happen in the next few months. But based on kind of what he was saying, I'm not sure if it's going to be a singles title or if it's going to be... Because he was talking about doing something that's never been done before. And the first thing I thought of was on the Jericho Cruise, I think that this might have aired on Dark in the last couple of weeks, but they taped a match on the cruise. It was an intergender match with Kenny Omega and Riho against Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford. It was actually a great match, and him saying that we're going to do something that's innovative that's never been done before makes me wonder if instead of another singles title, if perhaps they might go the route of something like an intergender tag team title. Again, that's just me speculating. I'm not sure, but... Cody basically said, they're going to have a new championship sometime probably later this year.
Well, good. I hope they do, because they need something to kind of feel, not just a tag team title void of the heavyweight the championship. I'm just saying they got to, if they could do that, that would make the show more different. I mean, more interesting than just what you see with, I mean, a lot of Jericho and Moxley stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, I guess give some other people time to shine.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it's going to happen. I think it might. I think the time to do it, maybe if it's a tournament to determine it or however they do it, might be to introduce it in the summer. Maybe even around the time of Double or Nothing. It doesn't have to happen now. But I think 4, 5, 6 months from now would be a good time to, you know, to unveil and crown a new champion. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jason. Have a good one, my friend.
Thank you. You too. Yeah, I'm going to talk more about that on the podcast. Oh, it's pretty much what I just said. Cody had a few more comments, but just based on what he said, it's clear they're thinking along the same lines. If it were me, it should be a singles title. Just something for the guys in that mid to mid upper card area to fight for. If they're not going to use the diamond ring that MJF has as a championship, if it's not going to be defended, then they should have a mid card title for those guys to fight. Guys like Darby Allin. You know, I mean, Darby Allin's not fighting for the world title anytime soon. So what about guys like him? What about guys like Jungle Boy? Luchasaurus, who I think will be at one time or another, he'll be a world champion down the road, but there should be something for these other guys, even a Sammy Guevara, to fight for. Let's go to Garden City, Long Island, area code 516. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason, it's Jared. How are you?
It's Jared. How you doing, Jared?
How you doing, man? Hey, Jason, I know you grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up on the island mostly of my life, but there's a place out in Massapequa on Merritt Boulevard called Old American Burger. It's not like a chain or anything. Probably the best burger in the world. Better than In-N-Out, Whataburger, or wherever the West Coast burgers are.
Best burger in the world.
It's right in Massapequa, right on Merritt Road. My dad used to take me there when we were younger. I mean, I just thought it. But if there's only one chain, they have like two types of burger and fries, that's it.
And here I thought I had the best burger. And here I was on Merrick Road not too long ago, although not in Massapequa. It was it was in Merrick or Westbury, wherever I was. And I was eating at a Houlihan's.
Oh, you're right there. You're close.
And I said, man, this is a great. And of course, now Houlihan's just went out of business about a month ago. So they're gone.
Yeah.
But I need a new.
If you miss it.
Okay, well, you'll have to let me know, because I need a new burger fix, and I got to figure out where to go. Maybe that's an option. We'll see.
Well, I just figure you're in Brooklyn. I mean, it can't be that far on a Sunday, a half hour, 45 minutes, like right along Merrick Road. It can't be that far. But
I have to be out there. Tonight. I'm not going to drive 45 minutes just to have a burger, but we'll see. If I'll
pay for your gas, Jason.
Well, I appreciate that. I do appreciate that.
I like the show tonight. Top to the bottom, I like the character building. I like everything what you said. Weeks in advance, telling us what we're gonna see. A week from that, we have this. 2 weeks from that, we have the cage. You know, and I just don't like them like doing what WWE does. It's just hot shiny storylines. They're milking them. They're waiting. You know, I didn't think they would announce Jeff Cobb tonight. I thought he would be a surprise for next week, but whatever. But I guess he's not really signed to the company. But I don't see Jericho losing to Moxley in 3 weeks. I think he's keeping that belt until they find Moxley doesn't need a belt until they find somebody else. So they really build somebody up. There's no, I don't see any reason to take the belt off of Jericho.
Yeah,
what do you think?
You could be right. I mean, you could very well be right. And the closer we get, I'm starting to have some doubts. I'm going to probably stick with Moxley as my pick. But if he were to lose and Jericho retained, look, I wouldn't mind it. I think Jericho's phenomenal in the role. It'll make me sad if he loses the championship. Although when he does, I think the meltdown will be very entertaining. So maybe they keep the title on Jericho for another however many months and wait until one of their more, quote, homegrown guys are ready. And look, if Hangman gets back to that point where he's in contention for the championship. It could be a good story there. Maybe 1 year later, it all out this summer. You know, what? One year after they had their match where Jericho won the title, all of a sudden Hangman now is, he's got this chip on his shoulder and he's got more confidence now and the fans are behind him in a way they weren't last year. And maybe now he's ready and maybe he's the one to take the title from Jericho. So they can go a whole bunch of different ways.
So you don't think he's going heel?
No, I do. I do think he's going heel. I do think he's going heel. And if he does, then it won't be him. But I'm saying if they wanted to just continue to build him, he's over like Rover right now. I mean, people are into him big time. So you could also look at that as an option.
No, I really enjoy what they did with like the Darby Allin segment and everything else. Like and the Santana segment. You know, telling stories of what Vince used to do, like back in the 80s and 90s, like Jim Ross sitting down with Rock and Austin telling stories. Why I need this? Why I need that? Why should I care about you? I did not know that Santana had a blind father that died 6 weeks ago. You know, stuff like that. It's just character building. And it just seems like AEW is just like on a straight line. And WWE, not to knock them, is just, you know, a zigzag all over the place. It's just, that's what I think right now.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's a much more easier show to watch. What?
Yeah, all good points. All good points. Anything else before I let you go?
No, Jason. Have a good day, and I'll listen to this weekend.
Awesome. Thank you for all the support. Appreciate it. That's from Jared, who I know dropped a $25 super chat earlier in the show. Let's see here. I'm thinking we might let's take one more. I was getting a little worried. My computer was barking at me, and it felt like it was about to. Shut down. I was going to try to shut the stream down before the computer shut down, but I think it's calmed down a little bit. Let's take one or two more, and then we'll wrap it up so I can put this thing to sleep a little bit. Let's go to 502. You're on the air. 502.
How am I saying?
Who am I talking to?
It's Chris.
Hey, Chris. Mystery Man Chris, hey, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was trying to get to my phone. I had it charging, and right when I got to it, it clicked off.
Oh, this is the Oh, that's right. This is the 502 that I hung up on before. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm glad you got that. It took me a few seconds to realize that. Okay, good. I'm glad I got you back on. Now I don't feel so bad.
No, it's all good. It's funny because I've only called like three times trying to get in. I've got in two of those three times. So it's all good.
Perfect. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, I just wanted to say that I watched the 9th anniversary of the HOG.
Oh, yes.
Recently?
Yes.
Great, 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 great work. I just, on your part, on everybody else's part, it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, look, I mean, JD does a hell of a job on play-by-play. He's the main play-by-play guy. He's been Mr. HOG for a few years now. And I've been fortunate to kind of be brought in as part of the team and been doing commentary for whatever it's been, a year and a half or whatever. And it's a blast. And that I think that was probably our best effort. That was probably our best show together. Back in December, so I enjoyed that. And we should have more information soon on when the next show is going to be. So hopefully if that gets up on YouTube, you'll be able to watch that one as well.
Oh, that'll be great. Because, I mean, honestly, I've been listening to your show for a while. So when I was checking it out, I wanted to see check out your commentary work a little bit there, you know, and I was treated to quite the show.
Yeah, well, you
know,
really
good, and you were really good too.
Thank you, but until you do it, you really don't realize how tough it really is. Now, look, I don't have anybody yelling in my ear, so that's good, but believe me, it's not as easy as some people think it is, and I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, look, with experience, you kind of improve and get better, and you learn the things that you did wrong. You don't do it the next time, so it's a whole learning experience, but it's a lot of fun. They have an amazing crew, and they bring in some big names too. It's to say that I've had the chance to call a Rock and Roll Express match and to call, you know, the Young Bucks against the Private Party and some of the other matches I've had the chance to call is a pretty cool thing. So, no, I appreciate that.
No, it's all good. concerning the show tonight on the AEW, I thought it was, you know, thought it was a great show. Thought it was done real well. You know, I mean, they're really kind of putting it to NXT a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I'm one of those. I watch both, and I can't decide which one I enjoy more sometimes. So I haven't seen tonight's show yet, but, you know,
just
I'll be watching
both, man.
Always put AEW.
Just enjoy them both. Wednesday night is consistently the one night, even if there's little things about AEW that I don't like, little things about NXT that I don't like, it's the one night where when it's over, I look back and I say, I really enjoyed myself and my stress levels don't go through the roof and I enjoy talking about it. You know, Mondays have been improving a little bit. Fridays are still shit. I don't know what the hell they're thinking and what the hell they're doing on Friday nights, but no, you can enjoy. They're going to go back and forth. I think NXT is a great show. The ratings are what the ratings are, but just enjoy both. You know, right now we've got a good thing going on Wednesdays, and who knows how long it's going to last. So I say just enjoy both.
Yeah, and I mean, finally excited about wrestling again. It's great. It's wonderful. I kind of got a prediction here. I keep thinking, like, every time they start talking about the Cody Rhodes MJF thing, keep forgetting about the stipulation of not being able to touch him, you know? And I keep thinking that this is going to come around and bite him in the ass somewhere, where maybe at the beginning of the match, Revolution goes to shake his hand or something like that, and he's like, "Oh, you touched me," you know? And then maybe they postpone it until Double or Nothing or
that
something
would
like
suck.
That and really blow it off. I know.
That would be
a
terrible idea.
I'm hoping that's I know. I hope that's not where it's going. You know what? It probably is, because I've been sold WWE crap
goodness.
And that's like something they would do.
After all this build, can you? And the build has been great. The way they've every week, Cody's got to go through a different thing, and next week's the cage match and everything. And then you get to the pay-per-view, and they only have 4 pay-per-views a year. It's not like they do these every month. And he inadvertently touches him before the bell, and the match is off. If I were the fans in the building, I'd turn around and walk out.
Oh, there'd be a riot.
Well, there wouldn't be a riot. they would take to the internet and complain is what they would do, and they would have good reason for it.
Right. No, it's just something that I think, like, I don't think it might be to that extreme, but I'm wondering if somehow that plays into something later on. Maybe,
I don't think so. I think they do the match. Now, could they extend it out and it leads, whatever, you know, MJF wins, somebody else interferes, it leads to a rematch maybe on TV a few weeks later? Yeah, I could see that. I don't think the feud necessarily needs to totally end at Revolution, but I'm sure we're going to get a match.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's like, I don't know, what that and Moxley and Jericho. Those are like the two big storylines they got going on. I could definitely see them just extending it out to Double or Nothing somehow.
Yep, I agree. Absolutely. Anything else before I let you go?
No, that's it. Really wanted to mostly call you and, you know, talk to you about the HOG show. I was blown away. I mean, it was free.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And they don't always go up on YouTube. I was even surprised when they told me they were putting the whole thing up, because that usually doesn't happen. They'll take individual matches maybe or snippets. If you didn't see it from the show before that one, and this is up on the YouTube channel, I believe. You can find the channel, by the way, people that don't know. It's HOG Wrestling on Twitter is the handle. And if you just search House of Glory Wrestling on YouTube, you'll find the official channel. You got to go back and see the segment. It was the video game battle that Low-Key played against Leroy Green.
Yeah, I did watch that.
Oh, my goodness. And I had to call that, and I had never called anything like that in my life. I just kind of got wrapped up in the moment. But the reaction from the people in the building, you know, the 250 people, whatever, whoever were there, and actually it might have been more than that, was fantastic. Because it's not the sort of thing you expect Low-Key to be part of. That was the whole point. You got the ridiculousness of Low-Key having to play Street Fighter in the middle of the ring. So they do some quirky stuff like that every now and then. But again, it really is a good crew. And you're going to see a lot of these guys on TV in the future. You see them now. in AEW. You know, that's Private Party, Santana and Ortiz. These guys were HOG, you know, before anything else. So you're going to see a lot of talent coming from there. If you've never checked it out, I think you might like it. Check it out.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Saul Monster, and I really appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. So,
right. You have a good one.
You too. So that's a good way to end with a nice little plug there for House of Glory. I've had some people ask me, when's the next show? That was the last show in December. When's the next one? We'll know soon enough. Should be an announcement coming very soon for the next HOG show. So that'll be fun. Always a good time. If you are in the New York area, New York, New Jersey, if you've never been to an HOG show, come on down to Queens, say hello. Guarantee you'll have a good time. If you want to vote in the polls, let's take a look at where things stand right now. AEW poll. We're up to 1,300 plus, 87 up, 13 down. And the NXT poll, let's see if we've cracked 1,000. No, not quite. 650 votes, 73-26. It's just the way it is every week. You know, even the NXT content, in terms of views and traffic, it always lags behind the AEW stuff. I feel like even the people who hate AEW are watching the AEW content and voting in the polls, and they're not watching the NXT content and voting in the NXT polls, which is kind of funny. So, but anyway, both shows are great. I am looking forward to watching NXT tomorrow. I am going to be going live, so please join me Sunday night. Super Chats, as always, will be open, and we'll have a fun review of the NXT TakeOver Portland show. Poppy is going to be performing. Poppy is back. She's going to be opening up the show on Sunday. I believe this is the first NXT TakeOver show, maybe ever. But certainly the first one in a very long time that's got six matches listed. Usually it's about five. So they're going to have an extra match more than usual. And earlier in the day, Sunday, episode 639 of The Sound Off will be dropping. Brand new RSPW Rewind. I think you guys are going to get a kick out of a lot of good content coming to the channel. And of course, if you want a free audiobook, there's one for you. Mayor Kane. Narrated by Glenn Jacobs himself. Just go to audibletrial.com/Salamonster. Sign up for 30 days and get one free book. Doesn't have to be Kane. Could be something else. But you get a free book courtesy of The Sound Off. I'm out of here. Have yourselves a great night. Thank you all for the super... Oh, let me get to the super chats I missed. I want to make sure I don't miss these people. Oh, I almost ended without missing these fine folks. Holy shit. Turtlehead, thank you, my friend. $1.99 super chat. Says, I need the Butcher and the Blade right now. Daniel Carr, $3 Super Chat earlier. Thank you to him. Shane Adam Hughes, also with the $3 Super Chat. Have you listened to the latest clips on Jim Cornette? I have not listened to Jim Cornette's gone a bit batty this week and said a lot of stupid shit. So I have not been on his channel. Brian, $5 Super Chat. Thank you very much. If you had to choose any wrestling faction to party with, who would it be? Well, I mean, if I would have said the Nightmare Collective, I guess they are no more. Ah, shucks. Damn, that's too bad. Boy, I would have loved to hang out with the Collective Nightmare. I guess I can't now. So, I would probably go wrestling. Does it have to be current? Because Yujiro over in New Japan. Still in the Bullet Club. Is it Bullet Club? I think Bullet Club. Yeah, his lady friend that he hangs out with. I wouldn't mind hanging out with him for a night. So, maybe Bullet Club? Tama Tonga? Seems like those guys probably know all the hot spots over in Roppongi to hang out. And Food Hive with yet another $5 super chat. Should they still turn Hangman heel, given how over he has gotten since he adopted the drunken gimmick? He is Cody levels over right now. Well, if this Nightmare Collective thing is any indication, one good thing about AEW I will give them credit for is if they see something is working, or if they see something is not working, they have the ability to just change on a dime and do what they feel is right. So if they feel that Hangman is getting over at that high of a level, then don't turn him heel. They don't have to. It just seems, it seems obvious that he's going to, but if he gets even more over than he is now, I'd keep him the way he is for a while. You don't have to turn him so quickly. But you know it's coming. You know the turn is coming. Thank you guys for all the super chats. We had a great night tonight. Thank you for all the likes. Everybody's hit a thumbs up on this video if you have not already done so. And I will be back for the podcast on Sunday and the NXT live stream later on that night. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great week. Check out the New York Mets clip that somebody mentioned earlier on the channel. It's the last video I uploaded. Even if you're not a baseball fan, I think you'll get a kick out of it. And I'll see you back on Sunday. Take care, guys.